I'd like to turn your attention to 1 Corinthians, the third chapter. First Corinthians 3 and verse number 16. I looked up today this phrase, "Know ye not?" And Paul uses it all of the time. "Know you not?" You know, it's like, you know better, you know. So verse 16 says, "Know ye not that ye are the temples of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" Do you understand that? Do you know it? Hallelujah. First Corinthians 6 and 3. "Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life?" Really, folks, if we're going to be in a position of judging angels, certainly we should be able to judge little issues in our own life, especially between each other. 1 Corinthians 6 and 19 says, "What? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own?" You do not own you anymore. He paid a price, and he owns you. He's the one. He's the landlord, if you will, of you. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse number 16, it says, "And what agreement hath the temple of God," that's you, that's me, "with idols? And for ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them and be their God, and they shall be my people." Glory to God. Lord, we're asking your blessing on the word of God tonight. Lord, what a wonderful presence of your Spirit in our song service. And God, we need that revival. We need that refreshing every day. Bless the word in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. You may be seated. I don't know if we can fully comprehend what we have become when we were baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. I don't think we well appreciate the power, the authority that we have because God is living in us. If we did, it would transform every aspect of our lives. We aren't just a group of people who come to worship and hear the word of God three times a week. Ladies and gentlemen, we are literally become the temple of God. We are the housing or the warehouse of God here on earth. "Know ye not that you are the temples of God and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" Glory to God. God's living inside of us. The word temple in the Greek means shrine. Now, if you will, we've become a shrine of God. If you could get that picture, it says also holy place and God's house. This may sound strange, but when we come to church, we are holy houses walking into this building, really. And according to 1 Corinthians 6 and 19, that temple, that's you and me, now belong to God. We don't control what happens as much as God does. "For ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God," how? "In your body and in your spirit, which is God's." You belong to God now. God said in 2 Corinthians 6 and 16, "For ye are the temple of the living God, as God said, I will dwell in them and walk in them." And when we're walking, God is walking through this world in us. Glory to God. Sometimes I think we just don't comprehend how important, how much authority we have, how much of God we take with us, regardless of where we are. So tonight I want you to get a picture of really who we are. We're somebody. not because of who we are, but because of whose we are. 1 Corinthians 6 and 2 says, "Do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world?" Wow. "And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matter?" See, we traffic in too small of things. We worry too much about the little things in life. When God's saying, "Hey, listen, you're judging angels. You're going to judge the world. Forget about the small stuff. Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life?" Do we understand the authority that we have in this life and the position that we will occupy in the next life? I can't imagine judging angels, yet God is going to put us in a higher position than angels. In fact, the Bible says that angels desire to look into the things that we have coming to us. We are the church, the ecclesia, the called out ones. Not everybody is a shrine, not everybody is a temple, but when we're filled with God's Spirit, we become that temple. But more importantly, we are temples, shrines, holy place, house of Almighty God, and there's something in us that cannot be defeated. So when we get down, we got to ask ourselves, could it be any better when God lives inside of me? Hallelujah. How can I be depressed when God's living inside of me? So what they did in the Old Testament in the temple, we now do in the New Testament in our new temple. All of the things that they went through, all of the things that they accomplished and how they approach God, we do that in this new temple that we're walking in. So if you turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 2, and verse number 4, it says, "Behold, I build an house to the name of the Lord my God to dedicate it to him." So, all right, they dedicated the house to him. What do you think we ought to do? We ought to dedicate this house to him. "And to burn before him sweet incense." What do you think we should do? I think we ought to worship God. They did it in the old house. What about the new house? "And for the continual shewbread," or the word of God. Come on, we got to keep reading the word of God. "And for the burnt offering, morning and evening, on the Sabbath and on the new moons and on the solemn feast of the Lord our God, this is an ordinance forever to Israel." It's an ordinance for us forever. "And the house which I build is great, for great is our God above all gods. But who is able to build him a house, seeing the heavens and heavens of heavens cannot contain him? Who am I then that I should build him a house save only to burn sacrifice before him?" Who am I that God would want to take up residency in me? But he sees something greater, more valuable in me than some of the greatest sanctuaries, some of the greatest temples ever built. God traded in the spires and the bell towers and the great architecture for dirt bodies. Because 2 Corinthians 4 and 7 says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels." Why? "That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." Hallelujah. You could look at the greatest cathedral that was ever built, and God saying, "Nah, I'd rather live in you." There was so much pride in the Old Testament temples. Look what we have built, you know. Look what we have given to God. That focus was on the building rather than on God. But then when God took up residency in us, You know, there's nothing prideful about us, but we have to exhibit God in us. In the Old Testament, God dwelled among his people, but in the New Testament, God dwells in his people. We are God's house. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God? God is not attracted to a physical structure, but he is attracted to a spiritual building of human beings. In fact, he's not even attracted to people because they're better looking than other people. He's looking for a meek and a contrite spirit that he can dwell in. But he is attracted to the spiritual being of humans who have been redeemed and sanctified by his spirit. And just as God said in the Old Testament, let them make me a sanctuary, God has put the responsibility of that temple on us. He's saying, make me a sanctuary. There's some building going on. There's some reconstruction going on. There has to be some tearing down going on in order to build him a satisfactory sanctuary. Not only to build it, but to keep it clean and looking good. I thank God for our building that we gather in all of the time, but it is not the temple of God. It holds the temples of God. Amen. Hallelujah. God bought space inside of us so we could have portable temples. Ever been driving down the road or doing some, you know, just mindless thing at home, and then you start thinking about God, and suddenly the hair stand up on end, goosebumps hit your neck, and tears start to flow. It is God just shaking the house. You know? He's checking his space. He has a right to, because he is the landlord. He can come in and he can inspect. He can come into your mind. He can come into your body. He can just check it out. Is it clean? Is it holy? Are you still building? Are you keeping it the way I want it? I don't know about you, but it is mind-boggling to me thinking that God wants to live in me in the first place. God hasn't changed his mind. He wants us to build him a house, not just any house. Amen. There are people who think, well, the Holy Ghost is something you could have, or it might be good, it's a gift. No, no. You know what? We are honored to have God living inside of us. And because of that, we are never alone. We are never without power. We are never without joy. This world is, it's going crazy. But not the church. Because we've got the stabilizer in it. We have the peace that passes all understanding. We've got a God inside of us that takes care of every situation. We don't have to worry about tomorrow. He's saying, if you will make it according to my pattern. You see, the temple in the Old Testament, God gave specific instructions. Even the ark had to be specifically built. And when it comes to your body, the holiness, the righteousness, God is very specific. He doesn't deal in generalities anymore. He is very specific, not just throwing something together. He has given specific directions and patterns for the house. And then he says, I promise I'll show up and I'll manifest myself in you if you build according to my pattern. And you get the pattern every week. You open the book and there's more blueprints, there's more pattern, there's more directions on what you should do and how you should build. We have to be careful about God's house, our body. Be careful. This generation has so magnified the mercy and the long suffering of God to the point of prostituting the holiness and righteousness of God. Oh, God is so merciful. God is so forgiving. And then who cares about holiness and righteousness? But, you know, God wants a clean house. The bottom line is that we are to conform to the very image of Christ. The perfect pattern for our house is Jesus Christ himself. Amen. When we get to the New Testament, the temple changes from stone to flesh. Jesus was the first human temple. People came to Jesus instead of going to the synagogue, and that really made the Pharisees angry. Why are you going to that temple when we have this beautiful, palatial place for you to come? But, you know, it just wasn't what God was after. And so after Jesus shed his blood for us and ascended into heaven, there was no human temple left here on earth, no witness in Herod's temple. So God's stage two process begins with producing new sanctuaries on earth. I'm so glad he did. I'm so glad that I don't have to find a place to get to God, but I am the place in order to get to God. Living organisms, a building made without hands, but filled with the same content of Jesus, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. He said, I would not leave you comfortless, for I will come unto you. And I will never leave you or forsake you. He's in me. See, I believe that God created us with a void that cannot be filled with anything else except God. Not vacation homes, not boats, not planes, not cars, not houses, not hobbies, not jobs. Because all of those things you can have and you still have that void, but if you can get Jesus inside of you, it doesn't matter if you have planes or boats or vacation homes, or it doesn't matter, because you're satisfied with the Spirit of Jesus in you. So God's first act after leaving in the clouds is to fill 120 temples in the upper room. Everybody knows about it. These 120 people now become the new residencies of him. He's duplicated himself first in 120 people. While crossing the street in the beautiful ornate temple, nothing is happening. There are a lot of people leaving ornate places today in religion because nothing is happening. And yet there's a little storefront that doesn't look like much of anything, and God is wall to wall in there because people are filled with his Spirit. There are many problems with a stationary temple. It's cold and dusty. No personality, no blood, and it is unmovable. But the new 120 temples got excited and moved into the street, talking about the wonderful works of God. One thing about these new temples, they just won't shut up. Hallelujah. Could you come to our church? Well, I don't know if I can make it. I'm rearranging my sock drawer this week, you know. So what do? The temple comes back to them, and back to them again, and back to them again. Glory to God. And they feel something that is in you, folks. These temples started talking to other people about God. You can always tell a true temple of God because they just cannot keep their mouth shut. They keep moving into areas that God wants to be. They talk about the important things, repentance, baptism, the infilling of the Holy Ghost, how good God is, what he is doing, miraculous things and healing. And within one day, God had gone from one ascended temple to 3,120 houses for his Spirit. Wow. What a building program. 2 Corinthians 5 and 19 tells us, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. And now it's God in us reconciling the world unto us. You know? So as the incarnation allowed Jesus to be the flesh of God, so the new birth now allows every one of us to let Jesus put flesh on again. Even though he's gone, he still put on flesh, and that flesh happens to be you and me, to reconcile the world unto himself. That's the purpose. You know, it had been a little easier once I was baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost that he would have just taken me up. But he let me stay here in order to be that witness, to be that temple. Christ in you, the hope of glory. We, new temples, are the hope for this world. As Jesus was God in the flesh, so is the church God in the flesh. We have the manifestation and presence of God in us. And so, you know, sometimes we misunderstand because we don't always feel the presence of God. We feel the presence of God in song services and even in the preaching of the word or from time to time as we're thinking about the goodness of God. But just because we don't feel the presence of God doesn't mean the presence of God isn't with us and in us. And more importantly, that the presence of God flows from us when we're talking to other people. I can't tell you how many times over the years I've just simply been talking to somebody about the presence of God, and all of a sudden the tears start flowing from them. Well, what's happening? They're feeling the presence of God that I brought into the room, that I brought into their hearing. Now, don't get nervous. I'm not going to mess with your theology, but you who have been filled with the Holy Ghost, God's Spirit, are the manifestation of God. We really are. And that's why we need to look the part, talk the part, act the part, be the part. The difference between Jesus being God manifested in flesh and us being God manifested in us is he was the fullness of God, and we only have an earnest of our inheritance, a portion of God. And I really do believe that it is our prerogative, our decision as to how much of God that we want in us. I believe that there are times that you put more emphasis on reading and worshiping and talking to God, that there's a fullness of God that just spills out over those that are around us. We just have a deposit of deity, but Colossians 2 and 9 says, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of God bodily. Hallelujah. Amen. But even then, he said, greater things than these will you do. I think we're just living way below our privilege because sometimes we just don't realize who we are. We're not the fullness of God, but we have the measure of God in us. But just a portion of God in us is better than a cold temple, or cold religion, or tradition, or ceremony. But it is up to each of us to expand the place of fullness with God. How much of God do I want? You know? This is just a great life to live, folks. But it's not fun driving around with an empty tank when there are places to go, things to see. And when you get a fullness of God, every day there's more opportunities, more excitements. You know, the early church used to greet each other with, "What did God do for you today?" And what it did is it just promoted more of doing something with what they had. Glory to God. We can't be the temple if we don't have the power, or we have a limited amount of power. If I have to drag myself to church, it's not fun. It just isn't. Years ago, I bought a welder to weld a wrought iron fence around my house, and that thing was really nice, had a great instruction book, but the problem is I didn't have 220 to plug it in. So I had to get 220 put in my garage before that welder had any value whatsoever. You see, it's nice to know all of what God did, but I'll tell you what, you got to be plugged into the Holy Ghost in order to have the power to do something for God. Amen. Why is it that when somebody is filled with the Holy Ghost, and that means really filled with the Holy Ghost, immediately they want to do something for God, or they want to tell somebody about God, but then 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 years later, we're not plugged in anymore. I want to be able to use the gift and power and residency of God to its fullness. But the only thing that keeps us from expanding is this flesh, you see. If we keep control, then God can't. And there's the option. We were created with a free will, and we have to overcome this flesh in order to have the power that God wants us to have. Have you ever thought, if I were Jesus, wow, this would be fun. This would be fun. You know, I could do some things, you know. I could heal some people. I could walk on some water. I could, you know. But maybe God wants you to have some fun. Do some things beyond the control of the flesh. Miraculous things. I believe he does. Hallelujah. Well, they find a lame man, Peter and John, laying at the door of the temple. And they want to try this new power out. You know? I mean, I spent a lot of money for this welder. I wanted to try it out. Let's see what it really will do. You know? You get a new car, you want to see it if it really, you know? And so that's what happened. So let's look at Acts, the third chapter. I was talking to someone before the service, and there are so many people in the ministry that want to complicate the Word of God when God has made it so simple. And if we pattern our teaching after Jesus, we would use parables and stories and bring it down home, because that's where it works with people. So in verse 1 of that third chapter of Acts, it says, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms, and Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, 'Look on us.'" Now, let's try this out. Been with Jesus for 3.5 years. I mean, he did some awesome things, and I'm just fresh with the Holy Ghost. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, and he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. He wanted to go into the temple all of these years, but he couldn't. I want to get into the presence of God all of these years, but religion kept me on the stoop begging for crumbs. But now I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. I got an excitement like I have never had before. I can get into the, in fact, God can get into the temple. And all of the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, I'm not going to let these guys get away from me. They held them. They grabbed onto them. All of the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? Giving credit to God. Hallelujah. They find the lame man laying at the door of the temple that God is not in. And here comes two new temples of God. How could they have the audacity to say to the lame man, look on us? You know why we don't witness many times? Is we're afraid that they'll reject us. Do you know why we don't pray for people a lot of times? We're afraid that it won't work, and then we'll look like a failure. But when you're bold, as Peter and John, you know what? We're going to try this. If it works, glory to God. Why look at us like we did it? It was God anyway. I'm not going to heal anybody. I'm not going to save anybody. But if I don't open my mouth, if I don't pray for somebody, nobody's going to get healed and nobody's going to get saved. Hallelujah. The audacity to say, look on us. Is that ego? Is it vanity? No, it's two dead men that have been resurrected that want the lame man to look on the resonancy of the Spirit of God that is in them. That's what's happening. Silver and gold have I none, but I've got power that you can't see, but you're going to feel that power in a second as we lay hands on you. It said that the lame man was healed and held on to Peter and John. Glory to God. I remember teaching a Bible study to my next door neighbor, and she was of a different persuasion, and she saw all of the information in the Bible study, and finally on a Wednesday, she decided to just come and thank God for the information that she got. She was about three quarters back in the center pew, and at the end of the service, she just kind of snuck out of her pew and kneeled down and raised her hands. I just want to thank God. Well, God wanted to make her into a house. And so she's, within seconds, speaking in a language that she had never learned, never expected that was going to happen to her at all. Glory to God. So she sat back down, and I said, Angie, how do you feel? And as she began to speak, all that came out was tongues, you know. And so she got a piece of paper out of her purse and wrote down, I want to be baptized in Jesus' name. And then under it, she said, what am I going to tell my husband? I can't speak English anymore. Glory to God. Tell me that church is not fun. Tell me that this isn't exciting. Tell me that opening the door to heaven, to people, is boring. Silver and gold, some of you have. But more importantly, you've got the gift of God inside of you that so many people are looking for. Hallelujah. Two dead guys on the way to try to save a life and make a new temple. Thank you, Jesus. It wasn't an ego trip. It wasn't a photo op. It was just wanting to expand the temples of God. There are many people who have had needs and went to church, but they never found the power and the spirit to take care of their needs. That was me. That was a lot of you, had needs, went through the tradition, the rituals, if you will, and walked out with ever getting anything that you really needed from God, like this lame man. And there are people who have been in front of the portable temples of God and received everything that they needed. I've said this before. I remember teaching this lady a Bible study in my office. I worked in a bank, and she was a loan officer, and she came out to church. She was filled with the Holy Ghost in the middle of the offering. And, you know, several weeks later, we're down at break room. We're talking about the things of God. And I don't know what I did, but my back went out, and I was in a lot of pain. And I told her, boy, my back is just really killing me. And so she said, well, why don't I pray for you? You know, now the student becomes the teacher, you know, just lays her hand on my back, and the pain is gone instantly. We forget what we have when a new saint, hallelujah, fresh with the Holy Ghost, a brand new temple. Let's try this thing out. Glory to God. Last scripture, 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. Second Corinthians 5, verse number 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. Reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, putting people with God. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. So he came to reconcile people unto himself, and now he's left, made us the temple, Christ in you, the hope of glory. For what? To reconcile people to God. It's our job description. And the fact of the matter is, I have never been more excited about God, never felt better, never felt stronger than when I was talking to somebody about the things of God. It's just God's way of saying, that a boy, that look on us. I want to tell you something you don't know. I want to tell you about the things that I have experienced. We never approach people like we are an authority or I have better Bible knowledge than you do. But can I share with you what I have experienced in God? Can't deny that, you see. Hallelujah. I hope you realize who you are. The authority that we have, the power within us, and use it. Because if you don't, you'll lose it. And one day, you won't want to come to church anymore because all of the pyrotechnics have been used up and now it's just enduring another service. That's not the way God wants us to live. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? I never wanted to be a pastor, really. I never wanted to be the best preacher in the world, and so far it's worked out the way I planned it. But in order to get a license, I had to go through a committee, a board, to get my local license, and then my general license, and then ordination. And in each of those steps, the paramount purpose was, what are you going to do with it? Is it so you have a card in your wallet? Is it so you can have a name tag, Reverend? Or is it for the purpose of winning souls and giving the information that you've accumulated over the years to somebody who is dying, lame, not able to get into the kingdom of God? And we have something that they don't have. It'd be a shame that we don't share it with them. I hope you realize who you are. I hope you'll step out and use what's inside of you. Amen. The altar's open. Would you come?